there is a resonance that continues to build. And when you're in those particular frequency ranges, it will become so pronounced sometimes that it will drown out any other, whatever you're trying to reproduce. So you might keep those things in mind when you are taping. The human mind will get accustomed to whatever is going on around him. And after a while, you won't even hear it. You will note the silence now a lot more than you noticed the hum just before he turned it off. These are the things to watch. If you have a motor with a fan or a little turbine, whether it be a heating unit, a cooling unit, whatever, if it doesn't kick the fan into motion, which produces one sound, it will sit there straining. The torque is building. And the hum will get louder until it burns itself out. You're going to have to come into the realization that with every one of those frequencies, there is a color tone. And if you want to test me in a very ordinary way, you who have a CD, a compact disc player, and have some CDs, look at it. Hold it to the light. Turn it. What do you see?
Color.
And you can play to your plants, you can play to your Gyandriana, you can play to anything. Turn it, see. If you get a lot of purple, go play that song to your plants. They're healing. You will learn to manipulate sound and color tone. And when you have learned those secrets, universal truths and universal mysteries, you're going to have what you need for universal life. But you've got to grow. Mr. Perot is naive in some areas. But let me tell you something. He is not as naive as he would have you believe. He may have started out that way, but he's bright enough to just say, oh, I'm naive. So you ones can listen to this and say, oh, well, but, oh, come off it, Ross. You know, this debt and taxation is wrong and everything. What is he going to say to the multitudes of people? Maybe the ones in this room. You know, UAC or cult members may know. It's not going to work. Listen to what he says, though. If you do away with all the jobs, who is going to pay these taxes? So you talk to the people with what the people understand. And you work from there. You don't go in there with this hyped up level of overwhelm them with a gold certificate that will wipe out your debt, pay it all, etc. They cannot understand a concept that takes a plug medallion. You slap it on the table and say, Mr. Banker, there it is. I just paid off the national debt. That may be the way it works. But the masses will not understand it. And in the distraction, you see, you've got to get it all. Some of it you will understand, some of it you will ignore, some of it will be a total distraction. It's like term limitation. What in the world does that mean? Well, Mr. Perot is talking about limiting terms. Teresa, on the other hand, is talking about having a baby. And what are the limitations of this term of carrying this baby? Let me tell you what. A healthy baby knows when its term is up. Leave it alone. Relax. It's going to need its diaper changed once it's here. And a mother should never be put under any kind of pressure. It will come in its time. But you can go through this, and I hope that all of you will get a copy of the tape. Because this is just an interview. But you see, the concept of what must be done in this nation is all there. And you still need leaders. And you can pick these little things apart. But remember, this is much like a meeting in this room on a Sunday afternoon. It must be worded so that it can go to the 6.5 to 7 billion people out there. God willing, there were that many interested. On the other hand, you cannot really say anything because that is what will be blown up in the press and in the media. Out of proportion, out of context. The man's getting smarter and smarter. And you know why? He can pull it off with such genuineness because he believes it. This is why you must know what you're doing, and you must get very, very good at what you know. In corporate management, you must understand what you are doing to the extent that if you misstate something, you have lied. Your protection becomes in the truth of it. And it works. And it works under fire, and it works under pressure. Because if you handle your life correctly, according to the laws of the land and the laws of God, you can be in truth. And those who come against you in the midst of the lie will suffer their own consequences. That isn't your problem. Now, I'd like to go back to something that I said early on. When I say it is time to consider getting away from the coast, did I say come to Tehachapi? These tapes go everywhere. Some should go to Montgomery, Alabama. That's going to be a safe place. And a spiritual center. You don't need to be out here in this two-man echo cult. More and more focus will be removed from this place. Why would you want to come out here to watch the big screen television we're going to get? That's good enough. But I'm going to start removing some of those nooses from around your necks. You had to go through every step of this way to get to here. There was not one careless lesson, precious ones. Not one. And that's so that you know now and you can manage and you can handle yourselves and our projects that are necessary for the survival of a remnant, hopefully in comfort, camaraderie, and community. I didn't say group, I said community. Does it mean that you will not have enemies in your community? Probably. Because there will be no point in the enemies sticking around. They're not going to look good in a community with integrity. And if you ones are so ill-trained by now, that you still go with that old false mythology that God is a pious wimp, and you must just allow and condone, you are in for serious trouble. Because in the movement of God's reclamation, there has to be strength. And you can do it within the laws of God. And it's going to get more and more and more uncomfortable for ones who come against the people working with the hosts. Now I know that all of you, and I really seriously considered asking again today for a little hookup so that you could speak with Gunther. I gave very careful thought to that and decided that it is not appropriate. A lot of top level things are going on. And Gunther's having extremely serious problems with his leg. And he will not tend it well. We have brought in a healing physician from the Utah area, and the bleeding seepage was brought under control within a couple of hours, and he is healing. He is being considered for some very important positions. But there will be further problems because if he is allowed to testify, he's going to pull down the entire governmental structure of the state of Missouri. And they don't really want that. You're going to notice that nobody is accepting appointment to the Secretary of Defense, where Mr. Inman was under fire. It's more than it even appears to be. So I want all of you prepared for some shockers coming up. On the other hand, I want you to pay attention to what is happening. Even our old buddy Hank is out there with his mouth open. Well, no matter who we appoint, we... What is this man doing in your business? There are many things at play. Who would ever want to be in that position? You're talking to military people, and you don't want any military defense system. you'll want to leave those POWs in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Korea. You want to use your bases for shelters, for the homeless, which pretty soon all of you will be. And the misery that you're put through under these confirmation hearings is unspeakable. Who in their right mind would give up whatever they have, and most of them will be successful if they've gotten that far, to be asked, would want to go through that kind of hell? Your nation is at a crossroads. You have been sold out. The Russians are coming. And you may as well be ready to live through it. No one's going to have the privilege of go curling up in a little tunnel somewhere till it all passes over. Neither do you have to be forfeit. And you have to be flexible. And we've got to get rid of some of the problems that hang over us. So I'm going to circle around now to you ones who are here as representatives of various and sundry corporations and business projects around here. And to all of you out there, you're going to have to confront your own personal problems, and you better be confronting them very carefully. Whatever is must be established. It isn't that people cannot change. It is a time of confusion and bombardment, and most will not change. It is being trained into your brain. Disruption, family disharmony, and if it is there, it needs to be confronted and handled. What am I saying? We should patch everything up, and at all costs? No, that is as big a lie as the lie you perpetrated when you felt you had to make these contracts in the beginning. You made them for the wrong reasons, and it didn't mean you made a contract with God. You made some foolishness with your government. And this is no longer a world of giving. It is a world of taking and being afraid you won't get. So you have to look at it carefully, measure it out in justness, realizing the impact on other ones around you, and then handle it. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to allow great sums of money in the middle to confuse an issue. You're going to solve these personal issues on their own merit. Whether you be 16 or 100 years of age. Most of you who have reached adulthood have gone out there to train yourselves at something. Most of you younger ones don't really understand what you're doing. I would like it seriously considered as we move along the next few weeks to get every one of the youngsters and all of you who don't know what in the soup you're doing with a corporation, to get a corporation, borrow a corporation, put a corporation on the shelf for yourself, lay away, is that what you call it? And then start with kindergarten classes with Court and learn what in the soup you're talking about. And if the youngest child can understand the basic concept, surely the rest of you can make it. You cannot survive in this world as a single functioning entity under the law, say, of California and the IRS. You must have some support system, some sheltering under a corporate structure. And we can't afford deadbeats on a program of progress. No free rides. Free candy, as Ross calls it. There is no time or place left for that. So if you are not willing to participate in good business, then please move out of the way, because it's house cleaning time. And we don't have a cult here. And anybody who wants to influx here just to be and think we're going to talk on new world and new age elements is wrong. Because when I get down to spirituality, man, your ears are going to sting. So my thrust is not to have you ones leave the ocean's insecurity to come out here to my insecurity. Be careful what you do. I have to talk about this. I have to talk about it because it's going to be a very nasty week. That means I'm going to have to get her eyes open enough to read a little bit. I want you to remember something. I'm going to have to tell a few things as we go along here, and I'll try to make it very brief. Most of you will not know anything about this, or at least the details, except the legal ones. But when the sheriff and the representatives of the law went out to reclaim the books from George, George had signed the note always as the publisher. So the ones here and the ones in the Institute were doing business actually with George as publisher. When the books, which were the collateral for the note, were to be repossessed, the sheriff met them there, and George said, had left word that these belong to America West distributors. He didn't have anything to do with them. Now those books are still in his care. He continues to sell them, and I'll get to that in a minute. He continues to sell them, period. But the moment the note was called, the law said he had to quit it, and he has continued. But I want to note something. This paper is a notice of a seminar that George Green is going to be having in Bozeman, Montana. And it says, this is his own words. George Green. George's career has spanned a wide cross-section of business, including financial securities consultant in the mid-60s, registered financial principal since 1968, bank director late 60s. He also tells everybody he owns a bank. Licensed real estate broker since 1970, general contractor, builder, developer of various townhouses, apartment complexes, office buildings, and shopping centers. From 1984 to the present, George served as an investment advisor and mortgage broker. In 1985, he entered the book distribution business and formed America West Distributors. And then, in 1987, formed America West Publishers, specializing in UFO and related books. The next, I will leave the name blank. Dear, this is January 10th, 1994, from America West Distributors. I am enclosing some documents which should be of interest to you. Quality Press, Inc., and then an address, was storing a little over 50,000 of the books, which was his normal practice for us. His warehouse cost is approximately $500 per month, and also he is due for printing approximately $40,000. Now, I'd like to know what he did with the $150,000 he got from the Institute, but that's neither here nor there. We have already paid Quality Press over $100,000 towards the printing bill on these books, as they cost to print much more. Now, I want to tell you, this is so badly written that it's very even hard to read. Invoices can be provided, but we are willing to sell them to you, parentheses, for some reason we don't trust getting paid from the Eckert cult, in parentheses. They have never paid us for the books they are selling now. According to the paper, they are out of these titles, which are at the printers. He has a printer's lien on them as recorded with the court. Now, I'm going to tell you ones in this room that Mr. Green espoused that it was costing him what, EJ? $3 a book?
Yes.
It was costing him $1.50 per book. Per the printer.
Somewhat less.
If you want to help, you can send a check for $50,000 to Quality Press directly, and we will authorize the release of all of these books, and they can be shipped anywhere you want. Since they are selling them for $6 each, meaning I guess you, that is really a gift of over $300,000 in value. Now, he really does calculate like he does his $350,000 in gold, doesn't he? With the kind of impact out there, you would be lucky if you could sell the books for the cost of the paper for reclamation. You can call direct with Chuck and verify, same. I am sending a copy of this letter to him so that he has full authority to release them according to your directions. This offer is only good until January 27th, at which time other arrangements will be made. I realize you do not want to do business with us, and you will not be in this case. We are just releasing the books and kissing off another $100,000 to the bottomless pit of the Eckers. Boy, these Eckers are really bad people. And then there's something from Grant and Megan and... There's more, but that's only one thing. Now, he has been in touch with Dave Overton with the gold. Dave is remarkable, and I'm sorry that you won't be able to see this one because he spells adversary, for instance, A-D-V-I-S-S-A-R-R-Y. Advisor Razzarary. So
he's a really mean adversary.
Oh boy, this is really bad. So this is December 17th. Well, it's really P capital D E C E M B E R, and it's even more badly written. Dear Dave, now this man has been through deposition. This man has tried every way he could to bring that gift that he made for the Institute back to the Institute, get it back, do whatever. He didn't send it to George as a gift to bury in his backyard. But look what George has done. Now, he has sent some updates. All of the stuff, which is garbage because he wrote it. To back up his story about how bad you all are. So he says, Dear Dave, Desiree and I wish you the very best for the holidays and hope that the new year sees everything open up. Our scientists learned of mirror problems on the Hubble Space Telescope. The University of Colorado sent an X-ray telescope to the New Mexico Range. Now, why would they do that if that telescope was not sitting at White Sands? They sent it for laser and vacuum testing before putting it into orbit. The X-ray telescope had problems, but unlike with the Hubble, the problems could be corrected, and therefore the telescope could be launched. And it goes on. Here is one that compares Jesus Christ to Elvis Presley. And then here is a sweet little verse that maybe we'll wrap this up with. It's an Indian version of the 23rd Psalm. The great Father create chaos and then give a solution. Not in their case. Oh, well. Regards, George. And then handwritten, drop us a line. Happy holidays. Does anybody feel like your brains are scrambled? Now let's see what this one is. This is a whole package, once again, sent to precious Lori. But there's some documents in here that he has sent some copies of pages, just separate little excerpts from Dave. He has sent Sananda's writing again. And if any of you have time to read it, please do. The writing is excellent. Just let it be noted that most people don't hear God when he speaks to them. It's always for somebody else. Then he sends some private, I guess, stuff. And of these investigations of which he speaks, they're all ones who went to investigate him because of the corporate protest. And of course he goes back into his little world and says, oh, but it's those Eckers down there in that cult. And then he will get a friend somewhere to write a letter, for instance, to the food stamp division, to the postal department, to here and to there, to demand an investigation. So here's one from the Office of the Regional Chief Inspector, Postal Department, to one Veronica H. Hanford of Sedona, Arizona. This is one of George's friends. And this woman who had come in and invested some little amount into the Institute under George's advice and also got paid, so she had really nothing to base anything upon except doing a favor. And of course George is sending this all around as backup for his claim that the inspectors are out after you, when inspectors say, well, they haven't found anything yet. So that's there. The one I find the most disgusting in this stack is Ruby Pimentel. Now, Ruby Pimentel got absolutely everything back. But let me refresh your mind about Ruby. Ruby sent a check for how much, EJ?
2,500.
It was into the cents, so it was easily tracked. Sent it to the Constitutional Law Center, but sent it through to George Green. Now, isn't it interesting that that check ended up endorsed by Gary Anderson's group into a bank in Colorado? When it was discovered and Mr. Dixon got onto it, the same day as it was discovered and brought under question, a withdrawal went from, and this went in the form of a certified check or a money, you know, whatever you do, so it's instant, to the penny from that account to George Green, and he returned it to Ruby Pimentel. And then he started his, you see, he had already returned it once to get it readdressed. Then she corrected it, sent it back, and here you've got an innocent dupe trying to help out. Well, after that, he got her to go to the University of Science and Philosophy and undergo one of their classes, so he could also use her against you in the Walter Russell material, and sent her back down to Florida to convince Sherry of your vileness. So he continues to work with Ruby Pimentel, and here is to contact an E.J. Ecker from Ruby Pimentel. Now, this was dated October 4th, so this has been floating around in the paperwork. Since you have published my personal business transactions and again taking George Green to court for an effort to obtain the money I tried to donate to the Constitutional Law Center, I'm asking that you publish my rebuttal, giving me equal time as any Christian would do. Nobody has tried to take George Green to court to get Ruby Pimentel's money. Should have, Gene. What happened? One, the mistake I made on the check was the written amount did not correspond with a number account. Well, that makes it hard for anyone to cash, including the Constitutional Law Center, TRE Trust, and Mr. Anderson and Mr. Green. Two, it appeared that the Eckers were trying to get all corporations into their name, including Green's assets. And since I felt this smack of greed plus monopoly, I wondered who died and put E.J. Ecker in charge. Yes, my donation was meant to be a donation, but when I ascertained that I could get my money back, I took the opportunity. When she ascertained, Mr. Ecker told her that she had put more in and he preferred to return it since he had written it up as a loan anyway. See, you get smarter, even E.J. The money was returned to Green by cashier's check. He endorsed it. Qualification and confirmation. It was returned to the penny from Colorado to George Green. From Gary Anderson to George Green, and then he returned it to her. Not the check she sent, a cashier's check. George Green never obtained my money, and I was elated to get my money. 3. Originally, I was told by Hatton to invest in the Institute, and then Hatton told me to ask for my money back, and my investments were returned, but without interest. She got twice what she put in. One half of it was a gift. She chose to have no interest. What in the world? She got twice the amount that she had originally asked to have on a note. Yep, you're getting smarter, people. Some time ago, Hatton told me I was the only person to retrieve investments. How is it that Hatton tells all this crap? Who is this Hatton? Is it the one that went over to Carson City with Mr. Green?
Yeah.
Cause the one that stuck around here never said any of these things. Apparently this is true, as no other names have been given that investments were returned. 4. I am in Florida, and therefore I don't know what is going on in California, but when... Let me see.
Excuse me, while you're looking, I'll turn the tape.
Well, I'm just trying to decide. It's got some...